I'm going to read a passage which inspired this morning's message. It's from Romans 15. And I'm going to read from verses 1 through to 13. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you love each one of us, and you loved us enough to send your Son into this world as a baby that we celebrate and think about at this time of year. But Lord, we thank you that he didn't stay a baby. He grew into a man who was willing to go to the cross and bear our sins there so that we could have hope of a relationship renewed with you. Lord, I pray that you'll be with me now as I bring the message that you've laid in my heart. Lord, take me out of it. We only want to hear from you this morning. So Lord, I just commend myself to you. Use me as your mouthpiece, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm sure you're all well aware, it's hard to not be with the table set here with the candles on it, that we are in Advent. On the first Sunday of Advent, the hope candle was lit. The second week, last week, it was the preparation candle. And today, the joy candle has been lit. You know, this morning I'd like to weave these three themes together. As I believe the old pop song puts it, you can't have one without the others. I know I put a plural on there. It's only one without the other in the pop song. But the others, because there's three. You've got the hope, joy, and peace. And hope, joy, and peace comes from God. He is that's the power of three which I'm talking about. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the power that he gives us is his hope in him, the joy, and the peace that passeth all understanding. And that's what I want to try and get across this morning, that message, just how much we rely on God. As I say, this is the third Sunday in Advent, and God reminds us of his intention to send his only begotten Son into this world to give us hope. Hope, because without him, we have no hope. Real hope. You know, we can only have that hope in a new relationship with him through his son, faith in his son, in Jesus. And in his virgin birth, you hear it in some of the ministers and some of the recognized national churches, if you will, still aren't convinced about the virgin birth. Well, if you don't accept the scripture, you know, it tells you not one dot or jot has got to be changed. And if you don't believe in that, well, then it's all a fairy story. So you've got to believe in the virgin birth. You've got to believe in his ministry and the miracles that he done, his trials and tribulations, his death on the cross as our sacrificial lamb, but more importantly and most importantly, his resurrection. Because without his resurrection, nothing is possible. Nothing would have occurred. Hebrews 9:28, which will be up on the overhead, but if you want to use your own Bibles, you can do. It's from the NIV. It reads, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." This scripture clearly states that Jesus will be returning to claim those who have accepted God's precious gift, his Son, as their Lord and Savior. If you have, then you can claim this hope, and you can look forward to a second coming without any fear or any doubt, remembering that all of God's promises are yes and amen. Jesus himself tells us in John 14, verses 2 and 3, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." You know, what a promise. That is our hope. That is what we hope for. We are only passengers on an aircraft, as it were, in this life. You know, we're in the air, but one day we're going to land, and we're going to land on the best airport ever. You know, have you ever wondered why people just don't take it, can't take it in? Because I think simple things are taken for granted, and people don't take them in. If you tell them that man's going to land on Mars and next year, a lot of people will be buying tickets to go on it, to fly with Virgin into space, all sorts. But to tell them the truth about the Lord Jesus and what he's done for him, somehow, well, I was the same once. I knew all about it, but I didn't accept it. You know, have you ever wondered why so many people in this world today, they don't really know what true joy is? They don't have true hope. They don't have peace. When you see the TV or reading the newspaper, all the trouble that's going on in this world today, we hear of murder, family breakups, suicides. You know, it's obvious there's a lot of dissatisfaction in the world today. Does it make you wonder what is going on? Why is there all this dissatisfaction? Well, I believe there can only be one reason for that, and that is the lack of faith and belief in God. Our society today seems to have lost its way. You know, I'm an old boy now, but when I was a young boy, at school, started with an assembly in the morning. The town councils, whenever they were having a meeting, they started with prayer. Parliament started with prayer. The Lord was welcomed into all reaches of our society. But sadly, today things have changed for the worst. People seem to prefer to put their trust in government, in science, even in their own ability. Almost anything rather than to trust in God. Is it any wonder then that they feel let down at times? You know, because no matter how good we are, we're not perfect. And we're always going to fail at times, you know, but He never fails. If only they would accept the word of God as Proverbs 3 and verse 5 advises. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If only that they would accept the promises found in Scripture, they would be so much happier. A favorite of mine, I've quoted it many times, I'm sure some of you might be sick of hearing it, but Jeremiah 29:11 is a beautiful, and it's one that I hold in my heart. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. You know, yes, hope for this life, but not only for this life, for the life to come, the life after this life. Because, as I say, we're only transiting through this land. We're going to land in the promised land if we stick with the Lord. Now, I think that's special. And that's what true hope is. I would go as far to say that without God in your life, it's not possible to have genuine hope. Yes, you may hope for a Christmas present. I'm sure a lot of us are hoping for Christmas presents this time of year. You know, and some of us might even get the presents that we're hoping for. But I tell you what, there'll be a lot more that'll be disappointed. Because people often let us down or don't realize what our hopes are. But you know, God will never disappoint you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And He knows what you need, and He supplies all your needs. He will supply all your needs, and then some. As our sister, sitting with her lovely red mask and her 36 years in teaching, Heidi, will support me here, will back me up. On the back of US currency, on dollar bills, it states, "In God we trust." Sadly, however, the value of that statement, like the strength of the dollar, can fluctuate from time to time. Our standards can often slip from time to time as well. But God's standards never slip. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can put our trust in Him 100%. There's not many people you can trust 100%, but you can trust in Him. Let's have a look at how Paul put it in Romans 15 and 13, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In this verse, Paul brings these three elements, the theme of this morning's message, together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In John 14 and 27, Jesus told His disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This verse gives me a real sense of peace and hope during this current pandemic. With all the problems and restrictions it's imposed on our ability to meet together continually for worship and praise. You know, but the one thing that we can look forward to and we can be sure of is that it's not going to last forever. It will come to an end in one way or another. Even though it means this, the second coming comes before it ends. But it's going to end. If you love the Lord, you can hope that there will be an end to this pandemic. It's restricted a lot of things that we do with family, friends, and other relationships. But it cannot affect our relationship with the Lord Jesus. He, through the Father's love, and the Father agreed, and he sent us the Holy Spirit to indwell with us, and he lives with us. And he's the one that reminds you when you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, and that you shouldn't pull your socks up. Isaiah 54, verse 10, though the mountains may be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Yes, what a compassionate God we have. And it's only through his love that we can enjoy these three elements of hope, peace, and joy. You know, Jesus came into this world to bring us that. He was a love gift from God the Father to us. And we need to just appreciate what a great thing that free gift is. Luke 10:21 tells us, at that time Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. As I've already said, unless you have faith as a child, and you know, children are lovely. I mean, we've heard about young Grace just being born. You know, in a year's time, she'll have the confidence to do whatever her father or her mother say. Stand her on the chair and say, jump and I'll catch you. And they'll jump. Because they've got total faith. When they get to Daniel's age, Daniel put him on the table and Rob says to him, jump and I'll catch you. And he'd probably laugh at him and say, no, Dad, I've heard it before. You know. But, you know, it's something that you've got to just really do, is just accept him as a child accepts, because he is our loving Heavenly Father, and he has got plans to prosper us and not to harm us, and he will catch you anytime you fall, and he will help you up if you ask him to do it. And you don't have to ask him nicely, you know, but you need to repent. According to the scripture, joy is a gift from the Holy Spirit who abides within each believer. Our gift from God the Father, as his disciples, we receive it just as his disciples did, as we read in John 14:26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Is it any wonder then that with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on our side, that we can rejoice that we have the hope and the peace that passeth all understanding, and the joy, and that it all depends on the love of God. You know, without him, we're lost, like the world is lost. They don't know true joy because they don't know the true God. They make gods of everything but God. And you know, the children of Israel have done exactly the same from time to time. You know, but God is a loving God, a forgiving God. And if you repent, it isn't all lost, because he will save you. You know, we need to rejoice in every circumstance, and it's only our joy in Christ that fuels our desire to share him with others. If we didn't have that hope in that power. We wouldn't do it. There's a statement, I'm going to read a few statements from Jesus, from parables, because Jesus spoke in parables, and I think it was, like the other verse said, he was thanking his Father for making it known to the simple and not the learned. And Jesus spoke so that everybody, no matter what level of education they had, they could understand and take the meat out of the message, as it were. And I think sometimes we forget about being simple, being clear and precise and concise when we're talking to Joe Bloggs out on the street who might want to know about God. He doesn't want to know about the religiosity of it all. He doesn't want to know about that. He just wants to know what is in it for him. And what's in it for him is the three elements we're talking about today: hope, peace, and joy. But the parables, I'm sure you're well aware of them, it's from Matthew 13. And we'll read from verses, it's only a couple of verses, 44 to 46. And it's the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Do you remember the joy that you felt when you first gave your heart to the Lord? I can remember the first time and the only time that I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Many, many years ago, how I felt. I could hardly contain myself. I was so full of joy and hope that I went out like a headless chicken, some people would say, around all my friends, knocking on their door to share my news with them. Were they all happy? No. I got a mixed reaction. But you know what? They couldn't spoil the joy. They couldn't rob me of the peace and the hope that I had found in Christ. Because hope, peace, and joy are all gifts from God. And you know, they must be evident in our daily living, in our witness for Christ, in our walk with him. They should be our power of three, as it were. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit should be dwelling in us and shining for us. And we should be sharing them as the Great Commission commands us and commands us to do, to go into the world and preach the gospel. And on that note, I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can remember at this time of year, although we don't know whether it was actually at this time of year, but it's better having a remembrance of when you took pity on this world and you recognized that it was going down the pan and we needed help, and the only help was your only begotten Son, who you sent to this world as a babe. And Lord, you announced it first to the poorest of the land, to the shepherds in the fields. And Lord, you care for everyone, because your word tells us that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And then they will have hope, they will have joy, and they will have peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, I pray that you will help us to be good stewards of all that you've given us. And Lord, to share it with others, not to hide it as some did. But let us share the joy, and not just try and keep it to ourselves, because we are supposed to be that little candle burning in the darkness, shining our light. Jesus, you are the light of the world, and we thank you that you cared enough to pay the price for each one of us. And we just pray that you'll continue to just enthuse us to keep our face fixed on you and putting one foot in front of the other. Lord, bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.